ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुय मदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ वी हैव बीन स्टडीइंग मुंडक उपनिषद ओम मे वी ओ गॉड्स हियर विथ अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस मे वी O worshipful gods, see with our eyes what is good. May we, strong in limbs and body, sing your praise and enjoy the life allotted to us by Prajapati. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been able to complete the first section of the second chapter. We have entered in our last class in the second section. This was what Angirasa was teaching, so his disciple Shaunaka. What was the question Shaunaka had put to his guru? Kasminna bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavatiti. I want to know everything. Partial knowledge is a very dangerous knowledge. Therefore, I want to know everything. And it is possible by knowing one to know everything only on one condition. What is that condition? That the cause must be one cause. If there are five objects and five causes, we can know only one object by studying, by the knowledge of one cause. But if it happens to be one cause, then by knowing that one cause, we can know everything in this world. Every religion, every scripture, the loud voice proclaims that there is God. What they call in simple language God is the one Eka Karana, and out of him this entire universe which seemed to have been produced, that we will know the entire world. Our experience of the world is, it's not one, but it is many. But this is only a seeming knowledge. Just as the example that by knowing the nature of gold, all the ornaments can be known because they are nothing but only modifications of gold. Nama, Rupa, difference is there. In order to teach this lesson, the nature of that Prameya, that something to be known, that Brahman, that Mula Karana, the real cause, only cause, was described by Shaunaka, by Angirasa, to his disciple Shaunaka. In the first mantra of the second section, Avihi sannihitam guhacharam nama mahatpadam atra etat samarpitam ejat pranat nimishatcha yad etat janatha sad asadvarenyam param vijnanat yad varishtam prajanam. The luminous Brahman dwells in the cave of the heart and is known to move there. It is the great support of all, for in it is centered everything that moves, breathes and blinks. O disciples, know that to be yourself, that which is both gross and subtle, which is adorable, supreme and beyond the understanding of creatures. This is one of the most wonderful things that we have to understand. What is the nature of that Brahman? Avihi. Avihi means light. Archimat. That's what we will be seeing in future also. Light means, light is that in the presence of which we get knowledge of whatever that light falls upon. Darkness is that where we cannot get knowledge of anything. So, what is that light here? Not like sunlight, moonlight, starlight, or firelight, or even the light of the all the sense organs. Because every sense organ is also called a light. That is why they are called devas. Why? The eyes throw light upon the forms. The ears throw light upon the sounds, etc. So this is light of the lights. Jyotisham Jyotihi Jyotira Jyoti Ujjvala Hridikandara. Exactly the same meaning is given here, that light, because of which I know I am there and everything is there. Because of the existence of which, because of the presence of which, because of the bliss of which, the whole world derives its existence, knowledge and bliss. And that Moola Karana, the only cause of this entire universe, is described as Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure consciousness. Consciousness means awareness. Awareness means light. Only difference is, if that consciousness is divided and pertaining to only one single object, it is called awareness. I am aware of a table, aware of a tree, aware of a man, woman, etc. But if it is unbroken, undivided awareness, that is called consciousness, Shuddha Chaitanya. And where is it? Sannihitam is everywhere. But especially it is there in the heart. Guhacharam Namaha. Guhacharam means that which moves in the cave. The heart is often compared by the Upanishads as the cave. So why? Normally the cave is the place where people take rest, and it is secret, and very few people know the door to that secret cave. That's why the Upanishads often enjoin this imagery, give this imagery. If someone is deep in the cave, very difficult to know, first of all, whether there is anyone in the cave. Secondly, it is also very difficult to know who is that person. So, as Sri Ramakrishna says, that a jamindar, a rich man, can be found anywhere in his jamindari, in his estate. But most often, he is to be met, talked with, and then personal interaction can take place in the drawing room. The heart of man is considered as that drawing room. That is called here Guhacharam. And this Atman, Charam means what? That which moves. So does the Atman really move? That should not be taken. A person is moving, air is moving, etc. That Atman can be known. We have to realize that best place for meditation, deep thinking, to contact that Atman, that place is called Guhacharam. And what moves? The Atman does not move, cannot move. Why? Because infinite cannot move. Where is it not? So, that is the Mahatpadam, is the greatest, highest state. This is called moksha. And everything is within that Brahman. This whole universe, not only one universe, that 14 lokas are in him, endowed, that is living in him, just as a snake lives in the rope. And we also have to understand, there's a beautiful Bengali song, Kali Rudare Brahmanda Bhando. This entire universe is within the stomach of Divine Mother, Shakti. Here Shakti means Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma means the cause for creation, maintenance and pralaya, as well as destruction, are taking one back, recycling process. And whatever is moving and also not moving, whatever has prana, that means living, non-living, nimishat, that which winks, that which doesn't, O disciples, yet whatever question you have put, and this is that Brahman. Etat janatha, you realize this, understand that. What understanding? That if God is everything, I am not separate from God, I am that God, I am Brahman. And what is the further? What is its nature of the Brahman? Sat asat varenyam. Here sat means that which is manifest, asat means that which is unmanifest. Not existence or non-existence. There is no non-existence. We don't seek anything non-existence. We can't seek a horn and a rabbit or any human being. It can be only sought those animals which have got the horn. So, this non-existence is like the horn on a rabbit or any human being. We don't search for a horn on our own heads. Why? Because it is non-existence. So, Brahman is not non-existence. వాట్ ఎవర్ ఈజ్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ విజిబుల్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సబుల్ దట్ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ సత్ అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ కెనాట్ ఈజ్ దేర్ బట్ కెనాట్ బి ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ నాన్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ది మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ నాన్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఈజ్ దట్ విచ్ కెనాట్ బి అప్టైన్డ్ టు బి నోన్ బై అవర్ ఫైవ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ దట్స్ ఆల్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పరం ఇట్ ఈస్ బియాండ్ ది లిమిటేషన్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వి ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఈజ్ లిమిటెడ్ బట్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఈజ్ ది బియాండ్ ఎనీ లిమిటేషన్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అనంత ఇన్ఫినిట్ విజ్ఞానాత్ పరం విజ్ఞానాత్ యద్ వరిష్టం ప్రజానాం వాట్ ఎవర్ పీపుల్ వి నో అబౌట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఫార్ సుపీరియర్ దిస్ హెస్ బీన్ సో బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్డ్ అగైన్ ఇన్ సమ్ అదర్ ఉపనిషత్ ది లార్డ్ సస్టైన్స్ దిస్ ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్ ఓన్లీ by a small portion of himself and everything else is beyond that. This is what we discussed in our last class and also now we are going to this second verse. Is yadachimat yad anubhyo anucha ismin lokaha nihitaha lokinascha tadetat aksharam brahma sapranaha tadvangmanaha tadetat satyam tad amrutam తద్ వేద్ధవ్యం సౌమ్య విద్ధి దట్ విచ్ ఈస్ రేడియంట్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ లైట్ సటలర్ దాన్ ది సటిల్ దట్ బై విచ్ ఆల్ ది వరల్డ్స్ అండ్ దేర్ ఇన్హాబిటెంట్స్ ఆర్ సపోర్టెడ్ దట్ వెరీలీ ఈ ది ఇండెస్ట్రిక్టబుల్ బ్రహ్మన్ దట్ ఈస్ ది ప్రాణ దట్ ఈస్ ది స్పీచ్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది మైండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది ఇమ్మార్టల్ దట్ అలోన్ ఈస్ టు బి నోన్ ఈస్ టు బి స్ట్రక్ స్ట్రైక్ ఇట్ my good friend this is the literal beautiful translation of this mantra second mantra of the second section of the second chapter of mundaka upanishad yet that which is archimat full of light means it is nothing but light only light always remember light means consciousness consciousness light knowledge these are all synonymous terms that which is pure consciousness and what is further its characteristic means swarupa its very nature yet anubhyah api anucha it is smaller than the smallest a smallest is a particle known by the scientists and that brahman is smaller than the smallest why because there is the infinite and infinite is always smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest and that is we have to resume that though it is not said here directly anoraniyan mahato mahiya this smaller than the smallest bigger than the biggest here small does not mean only this what the scientists call the particle but it is even something subtler this word smallest has two meanings in the physical sense it is something maybe in future even a particle can be seen clearly with the help of a very powerful microscope and what is a microscope it is an extension of our sense organs a microscope telescope these are extensions of the eye and a telephone etc is the extension of our ears television etc is also extension of our eyes some cricket match is going on in Australia we can sit where internet is available wherever we are as if we are watching it these are all extensions a cycle a car train aeroplane a satellite these are all extensions of the what we call the legs similarly if we are using some machine to hold catch hold of something that is an extension of our hands so nowadays scientists are creating not only life-like robots but they are far superior in intellect to all of us together put together so there what is a robo it is a great extension of our five sense organs not only five sense organs 10 sense organs it can carry us it can see further away and it can hear even the farthest it can visualize everything brain also is far superior these are all extensions but no extension can ever come to know even a billionth part of that Brahman. What is the reason? There is a law. An effect can never know the cause. So Brahman is the cause, the whole world is in effect. For example, a pot can never know what is clay. And when it comes to know the clay, that I am the clay, then the potness disappears. Either I have to be myself or I have to be only God. There is no other way. That's why Sri Ramakrishna one day made pun. Some devotee asks him, so when shall I realize God? Sri Ramakrishna says, making pun, when your I dies, then you will realize God. So when the I dies, what is left out? Only God. Because there are only two things, I and God. The world and God. World is limited, God is unlimited. Either our understanding is of God or of the world. Now at the moment, we are having understanding about the world. What is world? Everything is different from everything else. That's why a pot can never know that I am the clay. But it once it realizes, it becomes one with clay. And thereafter, its potness is completely forgotten. That is what we have to understand it here. Ano anubhyaha api anuchaya. And even it is telling, greater than the greatest. Why? Yasmin, in which Brahman, loka, all the known lokas, 14 lokas, lokinahacha, not only the external livable worlds, but every creature that is living. Do you know how many billions and billions of creatures are there? Human beings themselves are 7.5 billion. But what about a virus? If we count that virus, how many can really count? How many numbers of viruses are there? Just as scientists cannot count what is the distance. That is why they say it is a light year. So the amount of light that travels within 1 year, that is called one light year. And light travels almost 1,76,000 miles per second. Now who is going to calculate in 1 year, how much it, that is the analogy given, in whom all these worlds, along with all the inhabitants of all the 14 worlds, are nihita, contained. Tat, that Brahman, etat, it is this world and beyond the world. And that is aksharam. Kshara means that which is destroyed. Akshara means that which can never be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed because a very interesting principle. If something has to be destroyed, then there must be something else which is the agent of destruction. In infinity, there are no two infinites, so that one infinite can destroy the another infinite. When there is only one, who is the killer? Who is the killed? Who is the destroyer? Who is the destroyed? That beautiful idea is being conveyed to us by this beautiful Upanishad. Tat etat, that Brahman. Etat means this. Tat means that. Usually we say tat means that which is at a distance. But etat means this, that which is very near to us. But in Brahman, there is no far, there is no near. Tad dure, tad vantike. It is very far and it is very near. This is the language Isavasya Upanishad uses for our convenience. What it simply means is it is everywhere. And what is everywhere is called infinity. And God is everywhere. And God cannot be destroyed. Why? Because there is no second object. I'll give you a small example. If there is a table here, wooden table, let us say, then a woodworm can destroy it. Fire can destroy it. Human being can destroy it. But if there is only one and no other, no woodworm, no human being, no fire, nothing, then that cannot be destroyed at all. That is aksharam. This word akshara occurs in many, many places. That is why in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, so I am beyond both kshara as well as akshara. There akshara means jivatma or the whole world. But here, akshara means that which never attains destruction because there is no second to bring about a change. Destruction is a change and Brahman also has no parts and whatever doesn't have parts cannot be destroyed at all. That is a beautiful law. We have to think about it. This is what is being said here, that Brahman, what is its quality? Akshara. And it contains all the worlds and all the inhabitants of that worlds, including mosquitoes, viruses, everything is Brahman only. So, when a virus possesses a person or a living creature, you can say Brahman is possessing Brahman because there is everything is Brahman only. This tremendous idea is giving here. Now we are studying this. We have been educated. We know how to recognize letters and words are formed of letters. Sentences are formed of words and a complete sentence gives us a coherent, cogent, unified meaning. So these words, these sentences is nothing but a combination of words. Words are nothing but a combination of letters. And in Sanskrit, these are called akshara. Why are they called akshara? Because an akshara is one which conveys knowledge to us. If you take simple example, M-A-T, mat. So, makara, akara and takara, mat. English example, mat. So, this conveys knowledge. If there is an object called mat and every existing object must have a form and must have a name. So, mat is that object having a particular form where you can wind it up, unroll it, roll it and lie upon it, sit upon it, dance upon it, eat upon it. But the words, the knowledge that cannot be destroyed. That is why in Sanskrit we have 52 letters. Letter means here simply knowledge. And knowledge can never be destroyed because existence and knowledge always go together. And that is why one of the most famous definitions of Brahman that we come across in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Satyam. The word Satyam came from the root Sat. Sat means to be, to exist. And whatever exists, always exists. That is why it is called Satyam. Satyam means that which can never change. Trikala Abaditam Satyam. And where there is Satyam, there must be Gnanam. It is not that Satya is one, Gnana is another. So what is the relationship between Satyam and Gnanam? I'll give an example. Suppose suddenly you come across some object and you did not know anything about that object. But in your mind, already you have given it a name. I saw an object. It is round, square, of brown color or copper color and it is flat and I think one can sit up on it. You did not specifically say it is a chair. But that knowledge immediately comes to you. Here is an object and you have the knowledge about that object. So what we see in the world, experience in the world is called Sat. And how we experience that world is called Chit. Sat is outside, Chit is within our minds. Sat is the object, Chit is the idea of that object within our minds. This is the relationship between Sat and Chit. We can never directly perceive Sat as it is. We can only experience it as an idea. That is called Chit. And as soon as Chit and Sat become identified, where there is Chit, there is Sat. Where there is Sat, there is Chit. There must come a beautiful result. That is called Ananda. That's why Sat, Chit and Ananda can never be separated at all. That great truth is being expounded here, Tat Etat Aksharam. And who is that? Brahma. Another name is Brahma. This word Brahma came from the word Brih. Brih means the all-pervading, all-containing, and everything that we know, including all of us, are contained in it. And there cannot be anything outside it. If you say something is outside, that is only a finite thing. In infinity, there is no outside, there is no inside, there is no here, there is no there, there is no left, right, above, below, etc. That's why we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita yesterday, Namah Purastat Atha Prishtataste. My salutations to you who are manifesting in front of me, behind me, all round me, above me, below me, inside me, outside me. Because Arjuna perceived this Brahman. Brahman means everything. So, Sapranaha. Further, telling Sapranaha. What is it that sustains prana? Brahman. Tatvu, walk. What is it that sustains walk? Prana. What is it that sustains prana? Mind. What is it that sustains mind? Buddhi. What is it that sustains buddhi? Ananda. And what is it? The nature of ananda? Brahma. Sat, chit, ananda, brahma. So he is the substratum. He is the one who supports, without which prana itself cannot stay. And prana supports walk, speech. Tat who walk. That Brahman is prana. That Brahman is walk. That Brahman is manaha, mind. Tat etat satyam. This is the greatest truth. Tat, that second time he is using it, third time also he will use it. Tat etat, tat etat, tat manasa, etc. That word comes in this here many, many times as a corollary of yat, yat. Earlier he said yat archimat, yat anubhyaha, tat, 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 tat. That Brahman, to indicate what is there is here. What is here is there. And what is here and there is everywhere. That is the prana, sustainer of prana. That is the sustainer of speech. That is the sustainer of the mind. And by implication, buddhi and anandamai kosha. All the panchakoshas. Tatetat satyam. This is the greatest truth. Is absolute truth. Whatever the scripture tells, whatever Upanishad tells is the greatest truth. Whatever Guru tells is the greatest truth. And the Guru and the Shastra, they are Abheda. What is unmanifest is the scripture, and what becomes manifest, understandable, is Guru. Tat Amrutam, that is the immortal. Immortal because there cannot be birth, growth, etc. are only manifestations of that eternal immortality. Having described in these two verses, two mantras. What are the two mantras? Avihi sannihitam guhayam charantam charan. That was the first mantra. In the second mantra, some more characteristics of Brahman have been so beautifully said. Then he says, O children, Soumya means O pleasant one. Soumya means whatever is pleasant. Tat manasa vedhavyam O Soumya tat vidhi. I have given you the verbal knowledge, intellectual knowledge. This is a pointer. Walk this way, you will reach your goal. And I have told you that one. Now it is up to you. And what do I expect from you? Tat, tat, tat Brahma, that Brahman, manasa, by the mind. Manasa means through sadhana. Mind always has got sadhana. Whether it is sadhana for dharma, artha, kama, which is called prayaha, or whether mind aims after all this is over, after experiencing this prayas, man ultimately comes, he becomes a jignasu. Then he turns towards srayas, like Nachiketa. So, manasa, only by the mind, vedhavyam, it must be struck, it must be realized. This word, soumya, O pleasant one, means my disciple, who is absolutely sincere to the core and truthful. And I have tested him many times. And then he doesn't want anything else excepting that infinity. Such a person, I am pleased with such a person. That is called pleasantness. Not talking very sweetly, very guilelessly, and all those things are okay. But here it means the person is absolutely dead bent upon achieving that Atmagnana, Brahmagnana. That is called Vedhavyam. The word Vedhavyam and Vidhi they have got two meanings. One meaning is viddhi, from the root vid, to know. Know that Brahman is one meaning, and pierce, strike that and become one with it. That is second meaning. So why is the Upanishad telling us this second meaning also? Vedavyam. So that must be the goal, and that must be reached, and one must become complete one. Jiva, Atma, Aikya Jnanam must be obtained in order to presage, that is, see what is coming in the very next mantra. He is giving a foretaste, because this is nature of the Brahman has been described, that is called Tattvam Jnanam. And then the goal of life, this is what he is talking about now. Tat manasa vidhavyam saumya tat vidhi. That alone deserves to be known and know that. That alone deserves to become one with it and become one with it. So that is your goal. O my disciples, this is your only goal in life. First is tattvam, then purushartha, the goal of human life. Both have been expounded in this mantra. Then we will come to the last word. What is that last word? That vidhi, you pierce it. Why did this particular thing has come, vidhi? Why do we need to do that? How is that Brahman to be realized, to be known, or to be struck? The aspirant should concentrate his mind on the oneness of Brahman, oneness of himself and Brahman, oneness of Brahman and oneself, through the help of Om. The result is the attainment of liberation by gradual stages. Sadhana means there is only one goal. We have to, in dualistic terms, devotional terms, we call it, you be in the presence of Sri Ramakrishna, the presence of Shiva, Narayana, Devi, etc. But the real meaning is that when we approach, anything approaches nearer to fire, what happens, we all know, first it becomes getting heated more and more and more. And as it approaches very near, touches the fire, that object itself assumes the nature of the fire. So also Jivatma, whether the person is aware or not. For example, a devotee thinks, I will go to Vaikuntha and live there, not knowing that Narayana is like that all destroying fire, Kala. But as he goes near, he experiences more of Sat, more of Chit, more of Ananda. As an object becomes, obtains more and more heat as it approaches the fire. But once that heat becomes so great because of the nearness, then there comes a borderline. There is absolutely no distance between the fire and the object. Object becomes the fire, fire becomes the object, there is no way to distinguish it. This beautiful imagery is being presented to us now in the form of two beautiful mantras giving example of archery. You remember in those days, guns were not there. Mahabharata, great archers were there. Karna and of course Bhishma, of course Arjuna, and every one of them knew less or more. Only some people were more and some people know little bit less. So this, there is a bow and there is an arrow, and the arrow must be completely sharpened and it must be straight and it must be aimed, and then the thread that is holding the bow must be bent and pulled back as much as possible, and then with one pointed mind it has to be discharged. If a person practices, the instruments are perfect, man's body is perfect and his mind is perfect, and then when he discharges that arrow, it strikes the center of that goal and then remains one completely with that target. That is being given. These two coming two mantras are most popular, and these are to be memorized, and then we have to meditate, contemplate upon them. Let us read now the third one. Dhanur grihitva upanishadam mahastram sharam hyupasa nishitam ಸಂಧಯೀತ ಆಯಮ್ಯ ತದ್ಭಾವಗತೇನ ಚೇತಸ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಯಂ ತದೇವ ಅಕ್ಷರಂ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ವಿದ್ಧಿ. ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹಿ ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಸೇಮ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ತದ್ವಿದ್ಧಿ ತದ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿ. ಇಯರ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಅನಾಲಜಿ. ಟೇಕ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಎಟ್ ದಿ ಬೌ ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ವೆಪನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಇಟ್ ದಿ ಆರೋ ಶಾರ್ಪೆಂಡ್ ಬೈ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ದೆನ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಡ್ರಾನ್ ಇಟ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ವಿತ್ ಎ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ದಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಥಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಮಾರ್ಕ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಓ ಮೈ ಗುಡ್ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಂಪೆರಿಷಬಲ್. ಅಗೇನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ಅಕ್ಷರಂ ಎಟ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. ದಿಸ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಮಾರ್ವಲಸ್ ಅನಾಲಜಿ ಸಿಮಿಲಿ ಈಸ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಔಪನಿಷದಂ. ಟೇಕ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಬೌ ಇಟ್ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿ ಲೈಕ್ ಶಿವಧನುಸ್ ರಾಮ ಬ್ರೋಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಆರ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಧನುಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಟ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡಲ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಆರ್ಡಿನರಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬೈ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರೆಮೆಂಡಸ್ ಫಿಸಿಕಲ್ ಆಸ್ ವೆಲ್ ಆಸ್ ಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರೆಂತ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೇಡ್ ಮಹಾಸ್ತ್ರ. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಟೆಸ್ಟ್ ಅಸ್ತ್ರ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಬೌ ಔಪನಿಷದಂ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಧನುಹು ಗೃಹೀತ್ವ ದಟ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ವೆಪನ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಬೌ ಗೃಹೀತ್ವ ಟೇಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಪುಟ್ ದಿ ಆರೋ. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಆರೋ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಟು ಟಾರ್ಗೆಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್ ಯೂಶ್ವಲಿ ವೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಬೌ ಅಂಡ್ ಎನ್ ಆರ್ಚರ್ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಎನ್ ಆರೋ ವಾಟ್ ಟೈಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಆರೋ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಬೌ ಈಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ದಿ ಆರೋ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್. ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ ಇಟ್ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಬೆಂಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ವಕ್ರ ವಕ್ರ ಶರೀರ ಲೈಕ್ ಅಷ್ಟವಕ್ರ ಆರ್ ವಕ್ರ ಬೆಂಟ್ ಮೈಂಡ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಬೆಂಟ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಬೆಂಟ್ ಬಾಡಿ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ವೀಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅನ್ಸ್ಟೇಬಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ ಬಾಡಿ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಒನ್. ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಎನ್ ಅನ್ವೇವರಿಂಗ್ ವಿಲ್ ಪವರ್ ಟ್ರೆಮಂಡಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಪವರ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ಸೇಡ್ ದಟ್ ಎನ್ ಐರನ್ ವಿಲ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡಿಫ್ಲೆಕ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್. ಸೊ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಆರೋ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರೈಟ್. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ದಿ ಸಾಧಕಾಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ must be very straight forward. Anybody will see him inside, outside, day time, night time, and he must be studied. There is nothing to hide. Sri Ramakrishna used to say sadhu sannyasins cannot hide, cannot store anything. So he keeps one thing inside and he shows something outside. A beautiful costly shirt inside and a torn shirt outside to draw the pity, the what is called charitable nature of people from within. Oh ho ho, this person is not having any proper shirt, etc. This is how most beggars behave. Sometimes it is seen these beggars, they have lakhs of rupees stashed away under their pillow. Not like that. A straight perverse man. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell about Swami Niranjananda. My Niranjana doesn't have any anjana. Anjana means a stain, absolutely stainless. Niranjana Nara Rupa Dhara. We also sing Sri Ramakrishna's glory. He is Niranjana, no stain, no black motivation at all. So the arrow must first of all be very straightforward. Life behavior, his conduct must be absolutely straightforward. Anybody should be able to see it. But that will not do. Because this is a specialized knowledge. What he should do? Upasa nishitam hi sharam. An arrow which has been so sharpened that even if it touches a little, it will just enter. It is irresistible. It is so sharp. It comes, it goes through the body, comes out on the other side. It must be so sharp. So how can this arrow? Arrow here is the what is called spiritual practicing mind. The mind which is absolutely merged in spiritual practice. And upasa nishitam became extremely one-pointed, sharp like a razor through continuous meditation upon God. Upasa nishitam saram sandhayita. Now you fix it to the bow. Saumya, oh my good friend, ತತ್ ಭಾವಗತೇನ chetasa, this mind, which has been so sharpened by continuous contemplation on the self for so many lives and completely become merged only in that thought, tat bhava gatena, merged in that bhava. What bhava? Brahma bhava, otherwise called, that what is the only thought of Brahman, Ayamya, and just as a person pulls that rope which is bending the bow, that thread, and so put fix that arrow and pull it back as much as possible. That means do not allow the mind to deviate here and there. And then what should be done? Tat eva aksharam lakshyam. So make that aksharam, that imperishable God, Brahman, Nirguna, Ishvara, Sri Ramakrishna, Narayana, Holy Mother, that must be the only goal. Sri Ramakrishna used to often address his own mind. O my mind, do not think anything else excepting the lotus feet of your Ishtadevata, Mother Kali. Tad eva aksharam lakshyam. And having fixed the mind, the eye, only on that one goal, with the discharge the arrow, and if these conditions are fulfilled, then it is impossible for that arrow to go anywhere excepting reach that target and then become one, completely one with it. That is called Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Bodha. In Zen Buddhism, this idea has been emphasized very much. It is, a person is great to the extent that his mind is absolutely controlled. And in Mahabharata, there seems to be a story, and after completing teaching the science of the bow and arrow archery, Dronacharya wanted to test his disciples, and he gathered all of them. What was the test? A bird has been tied on the very highest branch of a nearby tree, and all these disciples were on the ground. So he said, now you pierce only the eye, one eye of the bird which is visible. His testing method was unique. He called one by one, what do you see? Yes sir, my eyesight is okay, it is 20 by 20. I see you, I see the tree, I see the bird, I see the branches, I see the eye of the bird, I see both eyes of the bird, I see everything. Out. What do you see? I see the tree and the bird. Out. What do you see? I see only the bird. Out. What do you see? I see both eyes of the bird. Out. Then only one person was left out, one disciple, that was Arjuna. Arjuna, what do you see? I see only the one eye which you commanded me to pierce. And then the teacher told, there is no need for you. You have already reached the goal. Like Yama Dharmaraja gives a certificate to Nachiketa, you don't need to do anything. You have already reached your goal. How? Because you have 125% of all the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. And any person who has it, he cannot miss the goal of realization as if you have already realized it. So this is the beautiful. Actually, it is said, a sadhaka must control his mind and he should not think about it, anything else excepting God. And he must aim only purushartha. I want to become one with God. That is called moksha. And this is being explained, the imagery, meaning of the imagery is being explained in this fourth mantra. Pranavodhano sharohyatma brahmata lakshyamuchyate. Apramatena vedhavyam sharavatu tanmayo bhavet. Very small but most beautiful second mantra. The first one is giving the simile. The second one is explaining that simile. What is that simile? Om is the bow. The Atman is the arrow. Brahman is said to be the mark. And this Brahman is to be struck by an undistracted, means one-pointed mind. Then the Atman becomes one with Brahman and the arrow becomes one with the target when discharged by an expert archer. Pranavaha dhanuhu. Here, what is the bow? Earlier he said bow, arrow, target, and very what is called straight and sharpened arrow, and an archer should take up and aim, and with fully controlled one-pointed mind discharge the arrow. A arrow becomes, reaches its target and center of the target and doesn't go anywhere, and it becomes one because when it is struck, it is difficult to even to take out. That imagery is being beautifully explained. What is that bow? What is that arrow? What is that target? And what is called straightening? And what is called sharpening? Pranavaha dhanu. Pranavaha means omkara. Everywhere in our scriptures, the greatest goal, sadhana, is to contemplate on Om. In the beginning, Omkara stands for Saguna Brahma, our Ishta Devata. That's why all our mantras only invariably start with Om. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namaha Shivaya. Om Rim Ramakrishnaya Namaha, etc. Pranavaha Dhanuhu. Dhanu means bow. Pranavaha, Omkara is that bow. What does Omkara do? Does it go and pierce something? No. But with the help of the Omkara, when I myself sit in the form of the arrow, in the hands of the, this bow called Omkara, then that bow, it forces the arrow to move forward with all its strength. That means I go move forward like an arrow and I meet my target and become, I do not fall down. There are so many arrows which will fall down. But here, I don't fall down. What happens? Like you take one small drop of water and put it in a small vial and then throw that vial into the ocean. By the throwing of that vial, small bottle, that bottle will break down. And whatever drop of water is there inside, it becomes completely merged with that ocean. And what does it become now? Ocean. What is its name? Ocean. So also, Pranavaha dhanuhu, sharahi atma. And what is that arrow? Atma. And what atma are we talking about? We are not talking about paramatma. We are not talking about shuddha atma, pure atma. We are talking about jivatma. What is the jivatma? Previously, individual self is considering itself, I am having a body, I am having a mind. Previous to that, I am the body, I am the mind. And through some sadhana, through some progress, I don't say I am the body, I don't say I am the mind, I say I have a body and I have a mind. That makes tremendous difference, because whatever we do not identify, and our attachment towards that is much less than what we are. So it is said, a monkey always carries its young one, and it is so much, it loves its young one. Every mother loves her children. So the monkey mother also loves. But if it has to traverse over burning charcoal, so it is said, it doesn't want its love for its young one, totally disappears because it loves itself more than its children. So it throws the young one down on the burning charcoal, places its feet on it, and jumps away. Most of us, when it comes to us, our father, our mother, and parts of our body, we are ready to give up. For example, if it is between my life and the life of whom I love, father, mother, wife, husband, children, etc. Most people, there may be a few exceptions, they prefer only their life. In fact, there are people who need to be given some blood. Father, mother require some blood transfusion. The children, many people, they refuse to give the blood. What do? They rather buy the blood from the blood bank rather than sacrifice their own blood. So much selfishness we are. So a jivatma realizes it passed the stages of artha and artharthi and enters into the third stage of jignasu, slowly progressing in spiritual life. And then we see this tremendous truth. Then previously, I am the body, I am the mind. Now, I have a body, I have the mind. And then a little further progress, it is nothing but God, I have complete faith, but I need to make it a fact through realization. Such people are being given this guidance here in this fourth mantra, Pranavaha Dhanuhu, Omkara, contemplate on Omkara, become one with Omkara, and that your Jivatma will slowly obtain Brahmakara Vritti by unceasing long contemplation on Brahman. A sadhaka acquires Brahma Akara Vritti, Kalika or Krishna or Rama or Ramakrishna Akara Vritti, and then Brahma Tat Lakshyamuchyate. Okay, I am the Jivatma. What is the teaching of the Upanishads? Jiva Brahma Aikya Jnanam. So what is the goal now? With whom should I become one and say there is no Jivatma, there is no Paramatma? Whatever is, only that Brahman. That is the goal. Tat Lakshyam Uchyate. That is called the Lakshyam. And what am I supposed to do? Apramattena. Absolutely, I have to be alert. Apramatta. Pramatta means pramada. That means carelessness. And my mind is running here and there. And 1 second of that carelessness is enough to throw me out of my goal. Is what Vivek Chudamani Shankaracharya says, that the crocodile of Mahamaya, if a person, sadhaka, is swimming in the ocean and 1 millisecond his mind is distracted, and immediately the crocodile pulls that sadhaka and forcefully drowns him. So, apramatena uttishtata jagrata prapyavara nibodhata kshurasya dhara nishita Duratyaya, that Duratyaya is being expressed here. If you are not careful, you will simply fall down. It doesn't mean forever, means at least you will not reach the goal immediately. Again, you have to put forth great effort, and that is called sadhana. So, not to get depressed. There is no place for depression. Go on joyfully taking the name of God. Apramattena, with absolute attention. Tat lakshyam vedhavyam. That target has to be pierced. Pierced means like an arrow becomes one with the target. So, Jivatma becomes one. Only problem is, in this physical analogy, the target and the arrow ever remain separate, even though it is the arrow pierced. But here, Jiva Bhava will go, Parabhava also will go, then Atma and Atma, like Shuddha Udake, Shuddham Jalam, like pure water poured into pure water, they become completely one. These analogies have a limitation. We have to understand the intention, not to take them literally. Sharavat Tanmayah Bhavet, become completely one, like an arrow, that means Jivatma Bhava, that will be automatically falling down. I am Parabrahma. That is what the Guru teaches, that thou art that Tattvamasi. And through this process of sadhana, with the help of Omkara, then the disciple realizes, I am that Brahman. Om is the bow, the Atman is the arrow, Brahman is said to be the mark, it is to be struck by an undistracted mind. Then the Atman becomes one with Brahman, as the arrow becomes one with the target. We will talk about the rest of it, such a beautiful analogy, in our next class. Om Bhadram Karne Vishrunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashi Makshabhiryajetraha Stirairangai Stushtuvagum Sastanovi Yashema Devahitanyadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrithashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha Swastina Starkshyo Arishtanimihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. Me, Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.